Good evening. It's good to see you all here this evening, and thanks for coming. My name's Graham. I'm the pastor here, and the first thing I'd like to do is to say a huge thank you to John and everyone, the choir, the techie people, and everyone who's responsible for putting on this evening. People have worked very hard, and thank you very much for that. Hands up. I can't actually see you out there very well, but I trust you're out there somewhere. So hands up, anyone who has played either Mary or Joseph in a nativity of any description whatsoever. Okay. Not so many as I thought. We're quite a select bunch. It does include me, because I did have to be Joseph at school when I was a young lad, and I didn't like it at all, because it meant I had to hold Teresa Hall's hand. And therefore, I got teased mercilessly by just about everyone. I would much rather have been a shepherd. And so, actually, I'm very envious of this little guy. This is, of course, Prince George. And I don't know if you saw this, but in his recent school nativity, he was a sheep. It's quite a brave teacher, isn't it, really? To cast the third in line to the throne as a sheep. This person who will very quickly get used to being the most important person in most rooms he finds himself in, displaced from the centre and playing a sheep. Well, it brings to mind Mary's own words from Luke chapter 1 in her wonderful song that she sang as she heard about God's plan for her. She said this, she sang, "My soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble." Who's at the centre of our lives? Who's at the centre of your life? Well, let's be honest. We are, aren't we? We are. You are at the centre of your life, and I am at the centre of mine. And the tug of gravity that is our selfish nature does its best to keep it that way, to get the rest of the world to revolve around us as much as we possibly can. In some people, of course, this is very obvious. But here is one of my favourites, noted for his large ego. This is Brian Clough, football manager who took, first of all, Derby County and then Nottingham Forest from obscurity to the peak of English football. And then with Forest, he won 2 European Cups. That's right, 2 European Cups. Count the stars on the shirts, my friends. They are there. But he did always demonstrate this tendency, whatever he was talking about, to put himself at the centre. And he did this very famously when he said, "You know that Frank Sinatra? He's met me." But he was also very good, actually, at puncturing other people's egos. Like when his captain at Forest, Martin O'Neill, heard he'd been dropped and put in the second team, he was outraged. He burst into Cluffy's office. "Boss, why am I playing for the seconds on Saturday?" "Well, young man," replied Cluffy, "you see, you're far too good for the thirds." And here is the truth, not only about those guys, but about all of us. To a greater or lesser degree, we are the heroes of our own stories. And it's very interesting. That has become a thing to be proud of in our society. That's a thing to be boastful about. But actually, is this really what we want? We all put ourselves center stage. Is it really all what we want? Because actually, this is precisely the problem with the world. It's very easy to blame all kinds of other things for the problem of the world, but actually the problem of the world is that I want to be at the centre of it. It's why the world is as it is, because we all want to do that. It's why my life often impinges painfully on the lives of those around, because I tend to think it is all about me. And that's pretty much the definition of what the Bible calls sin. And that is also precisely why Jesus had to be born. "You shall name him Jesus," said the angel to Joseph, "because he will save his people from their sins." And Jesus means the Lord saves. But for the eternal Son of God to save us, first, he had to leave the very center of things, the throne room of heaven, the control room, the control center of the whole universe, and he had to step out onto the edge, down to the mud and the squalor of human existence. In the Bible's words, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. In fact, the Bible says he went further. He humbled himself and he became obedient to death, even death on a shameful, excruciating cross. And he did that to take the blame for our selfishness, our egos, our pride, to die on our behalf. That's the story that starts at Christmas and continues, of course, to Easter and beyond. But how do we respond to that? We could say this. We could say, well, you know, that is a really powerful story. I'll keep that thought by me. That'll be a nice motivating thought, whilst still keeping ourselves firmly at the center and keeping Jesus very definitely on the edge of our lives. To be wheeled in at Christmas and Easter maybe, but sidelined the rest of the year. No. That's not the way it should be, is it? That is not right. If we are to get the benefit of all, at all, of Jesus' coming, we have to turn that round. We have to give way to him. We have to make space. We have to put him right at the center and take our place around him, to find our place in his story and not the other way around. You know, my wife is a very good driver. No, she is. She's safe, she is confident, and she has absolutely no speeding points. And yet, still, when I am in the passenger seat, I can't help involuntary reaching for the steering wheel and stamping my foot down on the imaginary brake. I can't help it. The problem isn't Kate. The problem's me. You see, I would much rather be in the driving seat myself. And that's exactly how we tend to be with our lives. We resist. We resist as hard as we possibly can having God in the driving seat. Though he knows best, and although he's by far the wisest and most skillful driver that we can ever know, we would much rather wrest the steering wheel from his hands and shove him aside, even though it means driving our lives over the cliff edge and down to destruction. You know, the amazing truth is this. It is precisely when we move over and let God drive, it's when we move ourselves out of the center and put him firmly in the driving seat, that not only are our lives actually in much safer hands, they're much better looked after, of course they are, but it's also true that we find our true place. Because our lives are not fulfilled when we put ourselves at the center. Our lives find our true place when he is allowed to take his. It's a bit like that battered old teddy bear we saw in the video clip. His significance ultimately comes from the one who loves and values him. And so it is with us too. If we try to make ourselves significant by putting ourselves center stage and pushing everyone else out of the way, well, we'll never do it. We'll be too busy jostling for position to have peace and enjoy life. But with Jesus center stage, then we get our value, our self-esteem, our worth from knowing that he loves us. After all, that is why he came. He came all that way. He values us that much that he was prepared to come all that way and he was prepared to die for us. He left the hub of the universe because of his love for you. Your life finds its meaning, its worth, and its significance once you put him center stage. So that's my challenge tonight. Where is Jesus in your life? Is he center stage or is he on the edge? If he's not center stage, then put him there. Come to him tonight. Admit your need of a savior to save you from your own ego, your pride, your selfishness. See how he died for you. See how God raised him from the dead to give you new life. And then start to enjoy the love he has for you. You can enjoy being his sheep when Jesus, the King of Kings, is center stage of your life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you sent your son. He left the control room. He left the very focus of the universe to come right down to this earth as we read those astonishing words. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, this isn't a fairy story. This isn't an old fable. This is the most remarkable thing that has ever happened. And it is just as relevant for each of us today as it ever has been. I pray that you will show us Jesus. Take away our prejudice, our blind spots. Take away, Lord, break through that tendency we have to want to stay in control of our lives. And help us to surrender our lives to him. Because then we find our true worth and our value and our purpose. Thank you, Lord. Amen.